Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace. Stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do? Bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome on, welcome all. And it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Welcome to Wild at Heart Roundtable Show. This is Noreen Helband, and I'm broadcasting to you live from Southern California, where it is 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And on the website for the schedule for Studio A for my show would be 12 midnight Eastern Daylight Time. So I'm on the West Coast. And Revolution Radio is a listener support station, so go on the website itself and scroll, and you will see Become a Patron field. You can click that, and you can donate money through, there's a field that says donate on the very top. So you could do by credit card that way. Or if you want to do snail mail, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and there's Terry Ackerman's address. Anyway, with that being said, this is a global station in terms of when we are being aired, which could be, you know, if you're down under, this is like the following day. So it's Tuesday, right? It's already Tuesday on the East Coast, but it's just very, very early, right? And where I'm here at in the West Coast is 9 p.m. Well, you guys, I am. How do I sound for one? Hi, everybody in chat. Please let me know how my sound quality is or my voice or audio, anything, okay? Do not be shy. Never be shy about anything that you hear that doesn't sound right so that I can correct it. I want to say hello to my friend Nick who's with me. How you doing, Nick?
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you're welcome. Lots going on this week. First of all, you know I'm the astrologer kind of here, whatever. Mercury retrograde is forward now since yesterday, so we can move forward with our, let's see, buying big price tag items or appliances especially, signing contracts, especially purchasing things that have to do with electronics, go for it now. Really, I really stress this the most of anything. During Mercury retrograde, not very good to buy electronics, install electronics, or sign big contracts. Those are the main things you want to avoid. But now we could go forward on all that. Ah, thank you, Mr. Rowe. And I want to say thank you, Vegas, and Reg, or Reg, and SJ, and Vector Theory, Greenheart, Juan, everybody. Now, I'm going to get to the lockdowns, because here I live in California. Governor Newsom, Gruesome, right? Doing another lockdown. So, you know, we just opened up recently. Oh, thank you, Vector Theory. I have a cute voice. Well, that's cool. You guys all have awesome voices and awesome writing, okay? Because I can't hear all you guys in the chat there, right? I can only see your writing. And you guys are all thumbs up. And boy, I will tell you this, everybody. 2020, no doubt, must absolutely be one of the most strangest, history-defining, destiny-turning years of all mankind. I'm not, you think this is not an exaggeration. This is, and probably by plan, right? We all know that. So here I'm going to get into the lockdown thing, because in California they're doing it again, but my state is not the only state. There are other states. Like I know Texas, I have a friend that just moved there from California, ironically, thinking, you know, he could get away from the BS. I mean, he was forced out of California because of work, but anyway. But then it's kind of like there's a kind of BS going on where he lives in the part of Texas he's at, okay? You know, with masks and all this. So he's just like, oh, man. So, you know, we can't get away from it completely depending on where you live. And, yeah, I noticed here in California, you guys, because, well, okay, I'm not a person that eats out often, but I do sometimes eat out, okay? And when I say eat out, understand, I'm not eating at fancy restaurants or nothing like that. That's not my budget. So let me just say the range would be from like takeout all the way to, well, I know takeout now has a different meaning, right? Okay, but you know what I mean? Takeout level price-wise in the traditional sense to something more a little bit better. But that depends on who I'm with and what I'm doing, okay? Whether it be client-related, family, friends, whatever. So for about a month and a half, we had the beauty and luxury of sitting indoors to many restaurants. When I say many, God, please, I'm not going to like... Okay, I'm going to give an average of how many I've been to sitting inside in the last month, over a month, okay? So that'd be a total of about 3 or 4. So these would be like either takeout places or actual restaurants. So it's been about 3 to 4 that I've actually sat inside of a restaurant in this last month and a half. But now, because our dear governor switched the gears to lockdown again, so now, yeah, the only, quote, sitting that anybody can do would be in an outdoor patio. You know, what happens is, as you know, a lot of restaurants or bars and restaurants have, not all, but if you're lucky, right, you may have, when you built your restaurant or you know, what do you call it? What's the term? You transformed the building into something that has a patio or something. It's a smart move because now, your patrons can actually order and sit outside and eat, okay? So that's better than nothing, right? Especially here in the summer, here when I say summertime, right, in most of the world, not all, but it's a good time to do that. So that worked out okay, and you can still do takeout, but you can't, I don't think you could sit indoors. Now, that might depend. I'm feeling there might be some places that do that. I don't want to say which ones. I'm not really sure. I don't know. You know, sometimes in these situations, you have your rare renegade people that just do what they want. And hey, more power to them. Let them do that. But I'm saying the general rule is, you know, this kind of BS. Okay. So anyway, okay. I think I didn't say hi to somebody in there. Stardust Man or Cannon, Batsman, the Mechanic. Okay. There's people in there. Anyway, so I don't know if the Watchman's in here, but anyway. So, say hi to all you guys. So, getting back to the restaurant. Yeah, so that's the big deal here, okay? Now, the beaches are kind of open. That's sort of, I think most state beaches here in California are. And beaches across the country, lakes across the country, I think, going to kind of vary. But, yeah, we can do that here for the most part. But you know what? I haven't actually been to the beach, meaning the sand, because I'm about 11 miles from there. excuse me. I haven't done that in about a month. So I don't know what's currently going on right now. But yeah, the restaurants are whatever. You know, but to me, and I've said this before, you guys, we cannot afford another lockdown. No. And they're already trying now, and I'm telling you, right now is the time for people to say no. Oh, thank you. Thanks, people in chat. My feeling right now to this, all this BS, is my slogan. You know, there used to be a program called DARE. I don't know if you guys remember that, but, and their slogan was just say no. Well, I want to resurrect that to this current time we're in, living, okay? With all the BS going on, this lockdown thing, just say no, please. Because you know what? Come winter, they're going to do like a third wave. Isn't this kind of like a second wave right now? Excuse me. They're going to pull up a third one in the winter. How many of these can the economy endure? Come on, you guys, really? They can't. So you know what? I am telling you right now, if you're a business owner, take a chance, because you know what? You don't have, in my opinion, okay, putting aside the takeout places, putting aside the places that have outdoor patio seating, if you don't have a patio, outdoor patio, and you're just a takeout place or you're a restaurant, you have nothing to lose. Literally, nothing to lose by remaining open and just saying F you. Because if you don't, see, isn't this funny how it's kind of hinged? This whole thing is sort of hinged upon this particular group of business people, the restaurant owners, the small mom and pop independent restaurant owners. Seems to me like you guys have a lot of say in this. It's really almost hinging on you in a way about whether this economy can kind of survive or not. And that's strange. It's kind of narrowed down to you guys, if you happen to be listening. So, you know, really, because let's face it, stores, yeah, you just wear your goddamn stupid mask, or you don't, or whatever. Many times I don't. Sometimes I'll wear it just to get in the door and take it off, but sometimes I don't. I try not to, right? It's kind of against a lot of our ethics, right, for a lot of the listeners to the station, sort of. So, I mean, for many, not all, but I just know. You know, stores are one thing, but we really shouldn't even have to wear masks or stand in those stupid marked lines, you know. At least the stores can still remain open. But what they're manipulating is these restaurants. This is, and obviously, you know, big chain restaurants, they could still survive, I think, but with their takeout. You know, I really don't know about the financial logistics of, say, like an Olive Garden or an El Torito. You know, these are places that are huge chains, and maybe they can kind of go back and forth and still survive, you know, doing takeout or not or this. But independent places cannot play this game anywhere. This is like playing ping pong with people's lives for these smaller, you know, restaurants, so independent ones. So I just think that it's time for them to say no. Just say no. I'm going to write that in chat. Just say no. Please. Anyway. And yeah, try to defy the mask too, because I really, you know, for myself, seriously, you know, if I can get away with it, I usually kind of do. I don't wear the mask in the store, generally. Okay. And most people don't have an issue. There are even other people like me that are not. So, you know, the more we say no and don't acquiesce, to, you know, realize that a lot of these orders, quote, they're not even legal. They're not, you don't even have to really follow them. This is what's insane. So getting back to the restaurant owners and the owners of small stores, by the way, I'm going to throw you in here too. Because if you own a small, you know, independent mom and pop store, you also have a right not to have to tell your customers to wear, or your employees to wear masks. There you go. That's another thing. It's really, same goes for restaurants. Your employees don't have to wear them. You know, you have to really study the law. And I just think that maybe small business owners, whether it be restaurants, stores, they have to start to form what I call informal unions or organizations, where they just say, you know, that they can even hire a lawyer to write out their, their own declaration, right? Of saying, we are, right? Because if you're talking about, say, like, you can do this by area, by the way. I don't know. This is just in my head. If you live in a city, part of the city, let's say you live in a combined metropolis like where I do, because here we have like combination counties and cities. So I'm just to say LA, Orange, and San Bernardino counties. If you're in Texas, it could be Dallas, Houston, metro area. If you're in New York, it could be the different boroughs, whatever. That city's a mess. Or, you know, Seattle. Oops, Chaz, Chop, forget them. Anyway, so the point I'm making is you can do, like, if you're afraid to do this by yourself, I think maybe people should get together and form, I guess, a coalition, right? And then you can have a declaration saying, you know, we did our research. We actually don't have to follow mandates, and we are not going to, okay? Okay, can I ask you, Nick, from a legal standpoint, do you think that's, like, a good idea? I'm thinking people, if they really want to do this, they should do this.
Well, you know, I 100% agree with all of that. However, I personally am quite discouraged at the level of compliance out there. And, you know, like that video somebody posted earlier, that guy minding his own business. Yeah, he doesn't have a mask on. Yeah, he went against the arrows on the floor. And, you know, people just descend on him. And that's kind of what I'm getting now. People don't necessarily bother you if you go against the arrows. Most of the time, you're left alone. You know, you just mind your business. I've always done that. Like when you're standing in line at a checkout, it used to bother me how people would crowd into me from behind. You know, I would like to leave a little bit of space, usually not 6 feet, but in front of me to the next person, and the people would crowd into me behind me. So when the line moves, I would actually move up a little bit and then move back a couple of inches to just try to ward them off because they'd want to pack in. Eh? It's like, I don't like being packed in. So this leaving a space in front of me is actually something I'm used to anyway. So, I did that anyway. So that's nothing new. But for the most part, you know, a couple of stories, it's not masks here. It's hand sanitizer here that they're just trying to force on you. I mentioned one time I went into a Safeway and there's this girl who actually blocks her way. She's got a spray bottle of hand sanitizer, and she just lunges at you, you know, trying to get your hands with the hand sanitizer. And 99 times out of 100, people just hold out their hands. Oh, spray me, chemical me. I need my chemical fix. Yeah. Kill all the natural bacteria so pathogens can move in and spread disease and, you know, augment bacteria, make super bugs that way. Good idea. You know, how they trick us. So the level of compliance, I mean, is really discouraging. And, that's what we need to do. Like you mentioned legal. Well, it's not legal we need to worry about. The legal is their realm. And the legal system is for the purpose of usurping the law. They call it law, but that's a euphemism. They never call any of their statutes codes. They're never called laws. They're called laws in conversation. But on paper, they're called codes, acts, and statutes. They're policies. Right. Okay, so the question isn't what is legal. That's not what we need to worry about. As men and women, we need to consider what is lawful.
Okay, I retract lawful. Okay, getting back to what I was saying here, though, this is why if people are this acquiescent, you understand, like, if it was me, I don't own one of these kind of establishments. But if I did, and I know other like-minded people like myself, I think we need to make like one big declaration, but then individually have our own in our own store.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then if the cops or customers complain or whatever, just hand them a paper. Go, look, this is our right. You want to read our rights, lawful rights? Here you go. This is what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So it is
time for people to do this.
To comply with a legal system that is demonstrably on its face unlawful, of course, is being unlawful. Regardless if it's legal, the question is it lawful? And it is unlawful to comply with their system in any way. In some cases, the legal system does align with the law, with the actual law. But that doesn't make it legitimate. That's just to give it the appearance of legitimacy and fool people. So for me, it's all about getting people, you know, like they've been brainwashed all their lives, starting in school, really starting in utero, but, you know, the parents were brainwashed, and so they start brainwashing their children. And we're all, you know, in a system that attempts to coerce us to believe that it is the law. You know, they are the law. They are lawmakers. They are law enforcers. And that's a lie. That's the lie that needs to be corrected in people's minds. Can we do that? In my opinion, that's the way to do it, to wrench out, to get a crowbar and wrench those eyeballs, you know, those proverbial eyeballs open to the real world rather than the fiction that they have been brought up to believe is real. And I don't know if, well, you know, what we're here to do that, so I'm not going to express any more of my discouragement in the likelihood of that happening.
Yeah, now you're part of, in Winnipeg, what's the restaurant situation in terms of, like I described to you, what's going on here in California and other states? Is that lockdown thing going on where you live? Like, I'm not saying you're a person who necessarily frequents restaurants often enough to see this in the broad picture, whatever, okay? Or what you know, it's basically what you know. Are you noticing that, you know, restaurants you could walk in and sit down and eat like normal, or do you have to sit outside, or what's going on where you live?
Well, I think as of a couple of weeks ago, maybe the start of the month, it was restaurants were open all the way through, but you couldn't sit down. The dining rooms were all closed up until about beginning of July, when you could finally sit down in a restaurant. As a matter of fact, I've been helping out with a renovation of a house that's quite a ways from here, and I needed to go to dollar stores, Canadian Tire, to get a tool. So on my way, I need to freshen up. I'm working in a moldy basement. The city repossessed it. It's a tax repossessed, and I feel guilty even working there, but it's a couple of friends of mine that I'm helping out. And so I went to a restaurant. I went to a Junior's, had a Fat Boy and fries. And Fat Boy is a hamburger with chili on. It's fantastic. You got to try it if you ever get up here. So I was in, and I was able to sit down and eat at that restaurant and have
indoors, inside.
Yes.
Okay. And what was this? Was this a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
That was just a couple of days ago. And there was one table that had a sign on it. This table's closed, and you know, in order to keep people distanced, you know, and right. This ridiculous social distancing is here. It is. It's not enforced so much, but it is. You know, it's everywhere. Buses, you know, they have the electronic signs now, and it shows the bus route, the sub route, and then practice social distancing. All the buses lecture us on social distancing. You know, like we were talking about, the world has been shut down. I mean,
yeah,
really,
basically.
It's been transformed.
Even though we can do these little things here or there or whatever, you're right. When you look at the complete free, you know, like the complete movement that we had before all this, is way different, right? I mean, think of all the complete movement we can do before, the complete movements and how we can spend our money. And,
none of that really changed here. Like, there's never been a lockdown here. There's never been a forced isolation or anything like that. There was, you know, all of it is really just suggestion. If you have a cold, if you have a flu, please stay at home, blah, blah, blah. But really, none of it. There's just certain stores like, I wish I'd been ready for this. If I just had my phone, I could have put it on selfie view and hold it up. And show the two people following me around this store. Sir, sir, you must use hand sanitizer. Sir, sir, sir. And I was just ignoring them. And finally, I did a circle around the store, and they were just following this big security guy in a flak jacket and this other guy, this guy standing at the door wearing a mask. Sir, sir, you must have sanitizer if you're going to come in, sir. And then I stopped and I looked at him, and literally his eyes were popping out of his head. He was huffing and puffing. You could see his mask just bulging out from is hyperventilating. It was amazing. That would have made a fantastic video if I had just thought. And if it happens again, I think I will be ready with my phone to record the whole thing.
Yeah, no. Hey, these are golden opportunities to show the BS.
Just show their psychotic, like how they've turned into these mad people, just going into a frenzy, you know, because, you're not going, you know. And then a couple other people there were just grouped together. I went out the door finally, and because it was just, I couldn't believe it. It was, you know, the most aggressive that anybody's ever been, any store host has ever been. And then a couple of people grouped, a couple of more employees grouped inside the door, and they were just sneering at me. They were baring their teeth like dogs baring their fangs, you know, sneering at me. Just, this freak doesn't comply. He's such a fool. You know, oh my God. I did get pictures of that.
Well, that's good.
Well, but other than that, in general, there's no lockdown. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, sounds to me like you guys have what I call a pseudo lockdown. It isn't, you know, and when people think of lockdown, I have to say, you know, depending on what part of the world you live in, it's going to vary. Because even though here we have a lockdown, it's more or less what I described. I mean, I haven't been harassed or anything, but you will have occasional individuals that are being used, quote, as examples that could be harassed. So I don't want to say that it doesn't happen, you know, but like I said, the lockdowns seem more specified towards businesses. I'm just saying in general, you know, because even though the governor says, you can't leave your house without wearing a mask, I see, hey, half of us ain't wearing no mask outdoors because you know what? Cops can't. They probably don't want to enforce that. It's too much trouble. So, but the easier enforcement can be for the, quote, restaurants and the stores. You see, this is where they get people, right? The lockdown and stuff.
But yeah, they can attack you financially too. So.
I think that's the biggest infraction for now. Could get worse later. Now, parts of Europe, I remember hearing, you know, in the last many months, there are sections of Europe, okay, sections of the UK, sections of France, sections of various countries, Italy or whatever, where in Italy, yeah, especially where there was just a lot of restriction on people. Like, I'm talking not just the restaurants and stores being restricted. I'm talking where people would, where people would walk out their door without a mask and their neighbors were flipping out that bad. I mean, that happens here occasionally in the U.S. You see videos of that, like, you know, you see. But I'm just saying, you know, there's just some parts of the world where it's really virulent, you know. And I know it's a psyop, but yeah, where I live here, still, the population's too large for people to really flip out at someone not wearing a mask, really. And I think that's probably kind of the case where you're at, thankfully. Because I am telling you, if my neighbor starts shouting at me, which nobody on the street, nobody in this area is like this, people do that to me, I'd be like, get the hell out of my face. Yeah. Oh, Stardust Man says that the video that you mentioned of the guy shopping in the paint area of Walmart was harassed happened. Oh, happened at the one you work at. Oh, is that okay to say on air? I said it on air. Okay, but anyway, yeah. So... ugh. I want to get into a sad story before I get into a kind of semi-funny one, a news event here. I don't know if you guys heard of this. I'm hoping you have. I know you guys, most of you listeners, are fairly informed. But there was a poor, man, I can't believe this. This is crazy. Poor young woman in Indiana here in the United States shot dead after saying all lives matter. I don't know if you guys heard that story. And I'm reading this one off of Daily News, okay? She's a young mom. You see her picture here. Let me put this in the chat, okay? This is really horrible. Horrible story. Okay, I'm putting it in chat, the link. But I think most of you guys have maybe heard of this. Okay, here we go. Where is this thing? Okay. Let's see. Okay. Just trying to scroll through here a minute. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. A young mother was finally shot earlier this month in Indiana and may have been targeted for saying all lives matter. She's only 24. Jessica Doty Whitaker and three friends were hanging out along the Indianapolis Canal Walk. Okay. Yeah, okay. It's like obviously in the city of Indianapolis on July 5th. They argued with another group. Okay, let's just be frank here. These are like BLM Antifa types or supporters of, obviously. Okay, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Another group, after one of the people Whitaker was with used a racial slur, you know, be careful of the context of this stuff. It's, hey, maybe it happened, but I mean, you don't, at the way, the context of this article, we know how they manipulate stories. My feeling is if a girl got shot, I don't know if one of her friends used a racial slur. Here's a problem with this. Let's be frank. In this fearful social atmosphere, you really think, and I'm going to assume these are white people in her group of friends, you think a young white person or any white person, okay, or Asian or whatever, is going to walk by black people, or what? I'm going to assume this is black people. Okay, they didn't say in here, obviously. It's assuming it. And somebody's going to say, yo, N, or oh, there's a whatever. You think in this kind of fearful atmosphere, people would make that known? This is where I'm kind of questioning this. Okay, so whatever. Her bereaved fiance, Jose Ramirez, told WXIN, okay, it's a mixed racial group, but that doesn't matter. To be honest, it doesn't matter, okay, if the person who did this, quote, racial slur, if they even did, was white, Hispanic, Asian, black, whatever. It doesn't matter. A racially charged confrontation ensued with the other group. God, you know, you guys, we've gone to the point now where we can't even say who they are. Because I'm going to assume it's black. We have, hey, in this day and age, I'm sorry. This girl got shot for saying this. We're going to just assume, which is the most politically incorrect thing you can do. But going by this article, we just got to assume, okay, the other group was maybe black or a mixture of people, right? If they're not all black, you got blacks in there and other people, whatever, doesn't matter. Okay? During which a suspect's group shouted, Black Lives Matter! And someone in Whitaker's group, possibly her, the poor girl who got shot, said, All Lives Matter, said her boyfriend. You want to know something? This is a whole BS point about this whole ridiculous, tragic story, okay? They can't even name the goddamn people, because believe me, if it was white supremacist, gun-toting, NRA people, which is, you know, who they really want to focus on and get rid of, you know, the New World Order, they would put it out blatantly. You would not even hear the end of it. But here is this poor girl shot by maybe a mixed race group. It doesn't matter. There's going to be at least one black person in here or whatever. We don't even know. We're just assuming, okay? But it's not good, okay? This is the narrative of the New World Order chaos, and it's not good, okay? Getting back to the article here. Guns were whipped out. Oh, jeez. Wow, people whip out guns that friggin' easily. And both sides, seeing that they were all armed, backed off. So even her posse was armed. Well, that's kind of good to know. It was squashed, and they went up a hill and left, we thought. But they were sitting on St. Clair waiting for us to come under the bridge. And that's when she got shot. This is outright premeditated murder. Because they're sitting there waiting. Okay? So to me, this is first-degree murder. Or whatever. Is it manslaughter? It seems like it's beyond that if they're sitting there waiting to shoot someone. Okay, right? He fired a shot. So it was a male. Okay. But didn't hit anyone, he said. I don't know. Oh, it was Ramirez? Oh, okay. So this is self-defense? Yeah, I'm just assuming all this. Okay, whatever. I was actually holding her when it happened. So this is the boyfriend holding the victim. Okay. She just fell. I turned around and I opened fire. Okay, it's interesting. Armed, yes, this guy is probably a good guy, I'm guessing, and he was armed, I'm just guessing. But these people that were doing this premeditated stuff of waiting for them around the corner or up on a hill, that's premeditated, right? Whitaker, a home health nurse who WTHR said was on the verge of going back to school and getting married, leaves behind a 3-year-old son. Well, that's really screwed up. As well as her fiancé, mother, and numerous other family members. Yep. Of course. The shooting was a third in a week in the same area. Okay? Of course, her family's heartbroken. Mother says, I just want the people who are responsible to be held accountable. We've gotten it to the point now in this world, you guys, where we can't even, it's so politically correct, and there's so much fear in this atmosphere that you can't even say, you know, you can't even come out and say, well, the perpetrator was black, or, you know what, you know why you have to say it? I'm sorry. But because people aren't stupid, they'll read this article, what do you think they're thinking? Whoever shot this girl, it could be a white Antifa person. It could be, okay, I'll give it that. In this crazy, insane world, let's just say it could be any race. It could be a Hispanic, Asian, but let me just say this, okay? If it's not a black person, it is a sympathizer of BLM and or Antifa, okay? So that wasn't even mentioned in the article, right? Not good to me. This is where the fear has become so thick that you can't even say, well, this is this person, and they're probably they seem like they're sympathetic towards this group, because why would they do this? You have a right to kind of editorialize a little bit, even though this is a factual incident in a newspaper or article or internet newspaper article, okay? So, you know, I guess I'm being old-fashioned, old-school here and say, yeah, you can kind of insinuate, at least. But here we are. We don't even know who this person is, the person who shot, what their race is, what their age, I guess, or younger, who they identify with or who they're representing or defending. No, it's just a random person who shot this girl who said all lives matter. Random. It ain't random, and you guys all know it. You guys all know it, okay? So, you know, to me, and the fact that, guess what? I don't watch TV, but I do have the radio in the background. Did you guys, anybody hear of this story on mainstream news outlets besides looking it up on, you know, here online or whatever? I think that's how I found it. Or, I heard about it on a alternative YouTube channel. I don't think I would have known about this girl's death if it wasn't for me, you know, getting little pop-up sidebars about, oh, this girl got shot. And yeah, it was one of those quote channels. I don't know if it was Mr. Obvious or one of those YouTube alternative channels. And that's how I learned about this. You think I would have heard about this on mainstream news, even the radio? Okay. The radio that, you know, purports to be, I have to take it back. They do talk about some of this, even though they're controlled opposition. Yeah. I know that they do, because I hear this stuff. So I'm just saying that I didn't hear it on the radio. But that doesn't mean that they're not talking about it, because I know how they are. They will bring it up. But my point is that mainstream, I'm just being generically, you know, talking about mainstream, and also I'm talking about the television in particular, ain't going to mention this story, right? Maybe locally where this girl lives, they might. But outside of that, I'm feeling very doubtful somewhat, and I could be wrong. But, you know, point I'm making is how many of you guys out there knew about this story? Let me look in the chat. Tell me in chat room if anybody had heard this story about this young mother in Indiana being shot for saying all lives matter. Write it in the chat if you say that you heard about this story. Nick, did you hear about this story? I think he's unmuting his mic.
No, I don't have a radio. Or,
oh, what?
It's breaking up. Sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry. Okay. I don't watch any mainstream at all. So if it was on mainstream, I wouldn't have seen it.
No. But my point is that I don't watch mainstream TV, and I didn't hear this story. I think would have, if it was on the radio, which is on the background in my room or wherever I'm at, it would have been more not on the news, but they would have been talked about on a talk show, okay?
Yeah, but social commentary.
Yeah, but my point, though, is that I had to learn about this story through an alternative YouTube channel. You see what I'm saying? Okay, see, right. Thank you, 808H Power, my friend, who I actually know. She said in here, Noreen, I've heard it first from you, nowhere else. That just proves my point, in a sense, okay? that if I didn't see it on one of these channels on YouTube, I would have not known about it. And you didn't even know about it, Nick. And I bet you most, half the people in chat didn't know. Okay, right, Reg. Heard about it online, not in broadcast. Exactly. This is my point. You have to stumble upon it either an alternative media news blog online or a video YouTube BitChute channel, whatever. Okay? So this is my whole point. This is just all narrative. It's all, mind control. But the sad part of it is this was a real story. This was a real story, you guys. They're turning real people into paper dolls. They didn't exist. This girl's going to be wiped out from people's memory eventually. See what I mean? So, you know, this is the point. This is what's so scary about this, right? This is truly scary. If it was one of your loved ones, think about it. And they were killed in this manner. How do you think you would feel that this person that you love, that their name and who they were was not splattered all over the news, because it's not, doesn't fit the narrative of the New World Order agenda. Very dangerous. This is so dangerous. Okay. Now, oh, Grog, you're right. You're correct. If it was a white woman that shot a BLM type or black or whatever, Antifa, now that would be all you'd hear about. Exactly. That's the whole point. It's all twisted. They're using race and gender even or whatever to just twist everything, okay? And make you, those who know the truth, you irrelevant. And making these scumbags and exalting them and covering for them, right? Now, you know, if this keeps going and people don't speak out, again, this is a time to... Oh, there's two things people have to do. They have to say no to mask mandates. They have to say no to lockdowns. But they have to say yes and promote and spread the news about these kind of stories. Okay? This is the time to do it. Summer and fall of 2020. Because I'm telling you, come winter, because let's face it, okay? This is like leading up to a lot of things, in my opinion, because really, how they're rolling it out, especially, okay, it's very sneaky. They're doing it incrementally too, which is really bizarre. How they're doing this is really, you know, it's not good. They're doing it in a way where it's like other news stories. You know, other news stories kind of shroud things and they kind of bury this in between. Come winter, and understand, I live in Southern California, right? Just like people who live in warmer climates, okay? In this country, I'm going to use the United States as an example. But it could be anywhere in the world, okay? So for me, winter is not like winter how people traditionally would live in winter if you live in a Four Seasons area or region of this world. But they're going to take advantage of the winter because people, if you live in a region where there's snow, a lot of cold weather, sleet, ice, rain, and snow, and so forth, I feel like they're taking advantage of that, especially. But this is everywhere, even in a warmer climate, but it doesn't matter. They're going to use weather against everybody because the more people are shut into their home, which is what normally people would do anyway, right? Sort of, Nick, kind of like in Winnipeg, if you have a major snowstorm, you know, people maybe can't drive all the time. I mean, I'm just using your city as an example. But other places maybe are worse, where people cannot drive without snow chains or there's a restriction of movement in winter. So they're really going to enforce lockdown because people are already naturally partially locked down to some degree in very cold weather, right? For various reasons. So they're really going to use the winter as an excuse to just lock it in. And what happens is that where I live here or anywhere that's where it's warmer, okay, doesn't matter. It could be many places that are warm in the winter or warmer. we're still going to be affected by lockdown because it's going to be mandated. Well, yeah, this is a time where you got to get in the house, people, you know, and all this. We're not exempt. And then that's when they're going to say, well, if you want to work, you got to do A, B, C, D. Ugh. It's not vaccine time yet, but what they can do, say, well, you know you can get tested for COVID. And really, maybe you should get tested because do you really want to keep your job even though you're in lockdown? You want to go back to it, right? This is why, I mean, they're going to throw a bunch of stuff. This is why now is the time, everybody. Now is the time in history. And all this is the epitome of human history right now. If you get out there and you say no to the BS and you stand up for, you know, the truth, okay? There's different ways to do this. Some people may not want to be as vocal, but you have to do it in spirit at the very least, okay? You understand? So this is what I mean. Whether you do or you don't say anything, but your actions have to follow what I'm talking about. This is very important, okay, whether you do say anything or not. So the whole point of the matter is non-compliance to everything. And when the opportunity comes to speak the truth about what's going on, if you want to. But mainly, I would say even more than that is the non-compliance is the bigger issue. So this is really a turning point for humanity. Isn't that crazy? This summer right now is a turning point for humanity. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, I cannot calculate how many problems that we have today can be solved just by transforming our thoughts from government being our boss to we being the government's boss. And we stop letting the government dictate to us. Oh, government passed another law. We can't do this now, or it's $1 million fine and 500 years in jail. You know, this is so abusive how the government uses the courts and the police to force its will on us. And we just bow down and say, oh, well, that's how it is. Can't change it. And even, I'm sorry to say, people in our own network are saying, oh, no, you got to do what the government says. And we just need better government. We need better leadership. So, you know, that's what it comes down to is, you know, if we're going to keep letting government tell us what to do, what to think, then we're done. We're cooked. But, you know, yeah, you're right. If we, you know, snap out of this hypnosis and start taking back control of our own lives and control of our own minds, because literally government means mind control. That's the basis for the word government. Yeah, that's the answer. That's really the answer to everything. That's the answer to poverty and warfare. I think those are the two biggest things right now is poverty and warfare. You get everyone out of poverty. They can take better care of themselves. Food is no longer for profit, so they don't have to chemically fertilize, and they can actually let soil bacteria re-endow our food with proper nutrients so that we become healthier. I mean, so many things will transform with that. Just that one thing is we got to start telling government what to do, not the other way around.
Yeah, you're right. And also, SJ made a good point in chat. Those missed payments and defaults will lead to 1 million more homeless this winter. Yeah, see, this is what I mean. The winter is crucial because this is a way they can get people and coerce them. Oh, you're late on this and that or whatever, okay? There's a lot of coercion I see going on. It's going to get worse. And this is why, again, say no, right? Say no, people. I'm not doing what you want me to do. Forget you. I do what I want. This is going to be the way it is. Right? Easier said than done. Who the hell am I? I'm just a girl here. I don't even own a gun. What am I shooting off for, right? But it's not even about that. It's just about the mindset. And you know, it's just standing your ground no matter what, I suppose. I don't know. Well, I'm not there yet, but...
A good example of divide and conquer is last hour they were talking about how I think somebody was in a store wearing a mask. And then people descend on him and say, hey, you better wear a mask. And then somebody else stands up for him, says, no, he doesn't have to wear a mask if he doesn't want to. Whether they're wearing a mask or not, you can defend, you know, your fellow man or woman. And yeah. Same thing in your neighborhood. You know, somebody has a big tax bill, their house is in default, you know, they're about to be foreclosed. Stand up to them. Yeah. Defend your neighbors. Get to know your neighbors. You know, that's when, you know, when tyranny comes to the door, most often it is in uniform. And there's nothing they can do if we start defending each other and start giving.
You know, I agree. And even being female, you can still do it. But I have to say the men have to stand up too. And I'll tell you why. Because when things get threatening, right, females, we are a little bit, you know, we're a little limited when things get heated. Okay. So this is when men have to, I'm sorry to say, they do have to stand up. I mean, we all have to, whether we're female or male. Okay, I'm not excusing females, but I am saying, though, there is a special role for men here to really get out of the complacent, I'm not saying all men are effeminate, but you know what I mean. They have to, if push comes to shove, they have to show their, they got to get their posture straight up, you know, your posture and your, I'm not saying to flex your muscles, you know what I mean. In other words, men have to be men this time. Because as women, yeah, we could use our will, we can use our voice, our thoughts, our words,
and your intuition,
of course, yeah, all that to help, and we could do all kinds of things in this. But men, when it comes to the heated, threatening moments, men have to stand up. I'm saying this because theoretically, you think women can do this, this, and that. But there is a limit for women. There's a limit for men, too. But I'm just saying, you know. But for men, there is more leeway to exercise power righteously. See what I mean? To defend righteously. So, yeah, men have to stand up. I know, Nick, I know you are the kind of person that doesn't hesitate to stand up. Okay, I know this. Right? And I know some men are physically handicapped or they can't do. Look. There's men that are handicapped. They're not any more physically effective than an average woman. I'm not saying everybody's the same, but you get my point. Your average man with normative amount of physical capacity, this is not about starting fights. This is about standing up and saying, you have to leave. You got to get out of my face. You see what I'm saying? Because if a woman does it, yeah, if you're lucky, okay, a woman does it, fine. They may leave you alone, or me or whatever, women alone. But in some cases, no. They'll just chase a woman away or intimidate her. But men, you know, you can't. You have a better chance to stand up to somebody if you are not physically, what do you call it? I'm just going to use a term, incapable, because I know that that's just a broad term. Okay, but if you can do it, you may have to show yourself that way because this is like a war of all levels. And I you know, I just have to mention this because there's the whole soy boy thing up there, and there is truth, some truth to that. Okay, men that are just like, I don't know, you know, and they're not going to physically stand up to anybody. But I'm sorry, if you're an able-bodied man, there's going to be a time where you might have to. It's just the way it goes.
So well, you know,
go ahead.
Part of the problem is the people who are not only able-bodied but also able-minded, right, and emotionally capable, mm-hmm, most of those people are living pretty comfortable lives. You know, they have good jobs, and that's how they're able to maintain their health and not be as prone to the brain fog that most people, I think, get when they're not able to care for themselves properly. And so the people who are suffering, the people who know there's something wrong and things need to change, are the ones who are, they may be physically capable, but they're not mentally capable.
Isn't it interesting? You made a good point. There has to be both, right? The mental awareness and the physical. You're right. But you know what I mean. In other words, it's almost kind of like I'm thinking of a situation where a person feels threatened or there's others around them that are threatened. You know, it's where people have to kind of stand up. But
I live amongst the impoverished and work with the impoverished. And they're just utterly incapable and really not even privy to the reason for their condition. Mm-hmm. And I found that they're at a point now where they couldn't even engage that if they tried. you can present them with the information. And a lot of them do have some knowledge of the actual agenda, that this is all caused. It's not just the way it is, you know. But again, you know, we're so isolated from one another that we can have our conversation about this. But really, where does it go from there? I mean, how do you group up? How do you, you know, one person stands up, you just get crushed, you know?
This is another point. I'm not saying that one singular man could take on a whole slew of people. Yeah, this is all dependent on a lot of variables and situations. But I think what I'm trying to say is wherever there is a need and what do you call it? Not just a need, but a circumstance where it's feasible to stand up. It's good to stand up, you know.
You know, it's people of means who have the most influence in this society. And like I say, they're just living such comfortable lives. All they care about is maintaining that level of comfort. And that's kind of why I'm quite discouraged right now. I don't say anybody else should be as discouraged as I am. But the way people are in the middle class, as they call it, it's a brick wall. They are very, very determined to only care about their own, you know, situation and maintain it and guard it with, you know, every fiber of their being, with nothing left to give, you know, to the world they live in. All they want is to build their ivory tower and stay there. And that's, you know, again, that's the lifetime of brainwashing, that they believe the system is what provides them with a modern life of abundance. And they don't really care that it's people that run the system. So therefore, it's people that provide that abundance, not the system. The system has stolen all of that from humanity and then gives it back to us in an eyedropper so that we can barely survive, and they can just loot us in perpetuity. And, you know, some people benefit. So they have what we call the house slaves. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a comfortable life. And then there's the rest of us out in the fields, you know, baking in the hot sun or,
yep.
You know. And we're growing, and no one seems to care. Like, I was volunteering at a homeless shelter, and they said that they were building a $5 million addition funded by the three levels of government. And by the way, they're starting all these donation campaigns to raise the $5 million. Well, if they're going to raise the $5 million, what is the government paying for a $5 million project, you know? So nobody saw that little deception. Mm-hmm. And also, they're expanding so that they can double their capacity. And people are celebrating this like it's a good thing, that pretty soon there's going to be twice as much homeless. Yay!
Jesus.
Oh, and we got facilities to accommodate them. That's wonderful. How the government cares for us, eh?
No.
So, yeah, that level of brainwashing. It's breakable. I mean, we can break it. But is it going to happen? No comment.
It's very difficult to foresee, because the more things start to narrow down on the population, that'll remain to be seen what people do, you know?
A population on their knees who believes that the government is the provider, the corporations are the providers of everything. You know? And how dare you speak against them? You're the rogue.
Even the politicians on bended knee, right, for that BLM thing with Nancy Pelosi and all these people. I mean, this is so if they're doing it, yeah, they expect the population to be just as compliant. It's like, you know. Yep, the global culture of tyranny. That should be the name of a book, right?
Well, it's a global culture of compliance. I mean, there's no tyranny without compliance.
You're correct about that.
So it's really up to us. I mean, we have such power, and it's sad to see it all get squandered. It's torture. I mean, such potential just being flushed down the toilet. It's torment.
No, it is. And here's another thing of torment, although this is a little bit funnier, and I'm going to put it in chat. You're going to laugh at this. Maybe some of you, this kind of came to me also in a video, but then I looked it up. Let me put this in chat here, okay? first. This is actually, it might flip people out. Okay, you guys have maybe heard of it already. Let me just put this in here. And I'll just say what it is. Okay, Nick, what do you think of the, let me pull her up here. Pull her up? Did you hear about Sports Illustrated did their first transgendered model? Did you hear about that?
No. Happily, okay, I did not. Until now.
Happily. Okay, I put it in chat. I'll put the link in here so you can take a look at this article. Okay, there it is right there. And there she is. Miss America or Mr. America in his bikini. Okay, so there you go. Tranny swimsuit. There, I like the comments. Yep. Okay.
Hiding the bulge, I see.
Yeah, you see that? Whoa. Anyway, so Valentina Sampaio, so she's Brazilian, becomes Sports Illustrated's first trans model.
You know what else is sad? He was probably a very handsome man. And he just distorted and vandalized himself.
You can tell by the face with the high cheekbones. Yeah, a very, very nice looking man, but he's become a whatever. Okay. I'm not anti trans on an individual level. Like, this is a guy, you know, I've known people like that, actually. It's not like, whatever, I don't care, okay? It's their life. They do what they want. But here it is, really being pushed into what you would call traditional venues, right? Institutions. Even if you don't respect Sports Illustrated, which at this point, who respects sports anymore, okay? And then also the swimsuit thing, whatever, okay? Whatever to that. But then you got a man now wearing a bikini, posing as a woman. Okay. I'm going to read this. You know, and it could be the other way around. How come you don't have women dressed up as men to appeal to men? It would never work, right? Okay. You know, like women in suits, that doesn't appeal to men. Anyway, since she is no stranger to making history. In 2017, she became the first trans woman. It's a dude, okay, to appear on the cover of Vogue Paris. 2 years later, she was the first openly transgender model. I'm going to talk like this. Transgender model to be hired by Victoria's Secret. Now in 2020, 23-year-old Valentina Sampaio continues to break barriers in the modeling industry by becoming the first transgender woman to be featured in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. The Brazilian model has been named as like one of the edition's 2020 rookies, quote, and models a white one piece by House of Pink Lemonade and a shimmery taupe bikini by Triangi. Sports Illustrated has become a you guys are laughing at this weird way of talking. Become a respected brand in the modeling world. Its swimsuit issue has featured some of the industry's most successful names since launching 56 years ago. Sampaio is joining the elite ranks alongside stars like Heidi Klum and Tyra Banks. Well, they're really women. But anyway, okay. In an open essay on what it means to be part of the Saint Sampaio, or of the See Sampaio, I don't know what, praise the magazine for creating another issue that champions, quote, a diverse set of multi-talented, beautiful women in a creative and dignified way, adding that she is excited and honored to take part. Well, it means a lot to her to model for Sports Illustrated. I'm sorry, okay. That's what it was. She is even more inspired by the significance it has for the LGBTQ community as a whole. Sampaio, who hails from a fishing village in northern Brazil, has been, you know what, I know you guys aren't really interested in what's being said, but it's just fun to talk about this, has been using her platform to fight for transgender rights. She explains that the beauty of her home country is contrasted by brutal crimes against the transgender community. Ah, well, hell, parts of Brazil are a freaking criminal hellhole. Hello? Okay. In a previous interview with Vogue, she pointed out that in 2019, 229 transgender people were murdered in Brazil. Our protection comes from God. Even with the new laws, people don't widely respect and comply with them, and authorities aren't enforcing them either. She was quoted as saying, okay, you guys, I'm not saying that it was a good idea to kill 129 transgender people. I'm not applauding that here, okay, please? That's my disclaimer, okay? I'm just making fun of the whole article, not about the people that were murdered, okay? Her success as a model has not come easily, fighting an uphill battle against discrimination, but she realizes her status gives her the opportunity to make a positive difference. Beyond that, Sampaio believes it's her responsibility to stand up for Brazil's trans population. I recognize that I am one of the fortunate ones, she writes in Sports Illustrated, and my intention is to honor that as best as I can. In recent years, you know, it's probably, well, actually, no, it's not, it's going to end here pretty soon. I'm having fun. You guys are like, move on, right? Okay. In recent years, transgendered models have been gaining visibility, landing, quote, first, such as magazine covers, beauty campaigns, and spots on the runway. Personal journeys have also been shared to the public. In 2019, American model Nathan Westling, formerly Natalie, detailed his decision to transition into an exclusive interview with CNN Style. He has continued to model for top brands, including Closing Helmut Lang's Summer Spring 2020 runway at New York Fashion Week. For Sampaio, change means lending by example, by leading by example, and spreading love and acceptance one person at a time. I believe that better people build a better world for all of us. And I stand for any and everyone who, like me, suffers prejudice for not fitting into society standards. Her message for the world is one of a still resounding empathy. She vows to persevere in her mission for equality, and to continue to embolden people who are marginalized. Sampaio ended with her essay with gratitude. Thank you. This is the last paragraph. I know you guys are waiting for me to finish. Thank you, Sports Illustrated, for seeing and respecting me as I truly am, for understanding that more than anything. Now, if this is Brazilian, I should do a Brazilian accent, but I don't know if I can. I am human. Thank you for supporting me in continuing to spread a message of love, compassion, and unity for all. Hey, I think I did kind of a semi-good Latin twitch or twang there. I hope people in chat think this is funny, but maybe not. You know what, you guys, you can write if you think what I did was funny or if you thought it was stupid. I don't care. I just thought I'd have some fun. So anyway, what do you think of that lovely article, Nick? Is it kind of over the top? It's so funny.
Well, it's typical of the distraction that they put out there. Like, they don't want to put anything about white people getting killed because it doesn't fit, you know, what they're trying to train into us.
Right.
So anything contrary to their agenda is deleted while, you know, they fill us up with fluff.
Yep. How was my imitation of a, I don't know what I was, it's kind of like a tranny or a, I guess a Latin tranny or... I know, I was just trying to be over the top. I don't know. Maybe it didn't sound come off the way I wanted to, but
so. Well, this sometimes is good to be silly.
Yeah, I just wanted to be silly because it is kind of a silly article. So you gotta be silly.
Well, I don't find it a silly article.
No, I don't. Very, you know what poisonous. I mean?
But yeah, to take something so toxic as that and make it, you make fun of it like that is, you know, it's self care.
Exactly. You're, we've gotten now to the point where this type of crap is self-care now. Hey, Grog in chat, he says, it makes my tummy hurt, Noreen. Then I did the right job by impersonating and making fun. I made the impact. No, I'm just kidding. Ah, Vegas 808HR says, may the transgender model from Brazil do the lambada eating empanada. Ah! That's a good rhyme there. May the transgender model from Brazil do the lambada eating empanada. That's pretty damn good.
I appreciate that some people, born men, feel they should have been born women. You know, that really does run deep. And so
of course,
I appreciate and I respect that. But to proliferate it, to go out on Sports Illustrated, to go in, you know, as a born a man, transgendered a woman, and then go into women's sports. That's completely, you know, illegitimate. And you know, it is really an insult. That guy posing as a woman on Sports Illustrated is an insult to women.
Yeah.
And it's just further denigrates how the system really wants to denigrate us as people, as you know, men and women. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's just further illustrates Sports Illustrated. Right. What a piece of garbage it is. People need to boycott. Absolutely.
After this, I hope they get slammed and not to subscribe to anymore.
You know, unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
No. As a matter of fact, because a certain percentage of the subscribers to the magazine are not, you know, crazy leftists, I do think that they would unsubscribe. Think about it. If you had a friend or family member that was into sports that much to where they subscribed to that, but they didn't share the sentiment, they might, because they'd be like, what is this? You know, I think they're going to lose. Here's the thing. That magazine will lose subscribers because of us. But you know what? They don't care, because we're in an age now, you guys, where the corporations, they're so wealthy. They don't care. Now, it's full speed to pull off and promote agenda over even profit in some cases, right?
Yeah, not only that, but regardless of what you do, everything you do will offend somebody and you will lose listeners and subscribers, but you will also gain some. So it's a matter of, you know, gaining more than you lose.
Yeah, no,
and I have a feeling.
Right. Yeah, that's you're right. There is kind of a two sides to the coin issue there.
So I have a feeling that this kind of thing is going to gain them. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's 50-50. Maybe they'll gain as many as they lose. I don't know.
You know, but to them, maybe that's worth it, because they're so agenda-driven that they don't.
Well, and they get points from the garbage in the capstone, as it were.
You're right. They get
and people, you are garbage. Yeah. I mean, you know, you are going to be held to answer. And I don't care what you do to me. I don't have any children for you to threaten. So you're gonna be you're gonna be with your father. It's gonna be real ugly for you.
It's gonna be
the day.
More men have to think like this. More people have to think like this, because we're in a fight for humanity survival right now with all this. You know,
we're in a fight for dignity and you know, not just survival.
Well, everything.
I mean, our very soul is what they're really fighting for. And guess what? You can never sell your soul. Your soul is part of you. Okay, it's always with you, but you can rent it out. And that's what people are doing, is they're renting out their soul for bling. You know, and that's the great tragedy. And somehow there is a way. Like I say, every sentence is a key, and everybody's mind is the keyhole, the cylinder. You put the key in, you unlock certain ideas every time you speak to them. Mm-hmm. So somehow, and I'm not even anywhere near, people said I use words well. Well, I'm nowhere near where I need to be to unlock the ideas that are in all of us, that we all have. We all realize that. I mean, we all have the answers. They're right there, right before us. It's just that we've been blinded to them. You know, it doesn't matter if something's a foot away. If you can't see it, chances are you're not going to find it. So that's what we got to do, is those answers are there. They're already in people's minds. They already know the answers. All we have to do is get ourselves to tell ourselves the answers.
I agree. Yeah. So, you know, this is, it's just interesting to see how the agenda just keeps getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And, you know, here's another thing, speaking of children and stuff, but, you know, going back to school now is going to be the biggest joke in the world, you know. Some of the school districts here, like in Los Angeles and stuff, you know, in this area or whatever, Los Angeles, they're going to maybe continue the Zoom classes. Whoa. Okay. You know, and or if they do reinstate class, and children have to be apart. I mean, look, kids and even mainstream talk radio, you know, there was a whole segment on it by a host. He's saying, you know, children don't generally get COVID anyway, so why are they forcing kids to do all this bizarre stuff in school? And you know what, you guys, this is so part of the mind control. To get young children to get used to, like, distancing themselves from their friends and their teachers. Nothing could be farther from normal life, right? To me, when this whole thing started, I thought, distancing is not normal. Nothing normal about it. For adults, it's better. For kids, it's almost like, look, for an adult, it's already bad enough, okay? But for children, it's like going to impair their physical and psychological growth, totally.
You know, school is another example of why it should be easy to snap people out of this. I mean, we need to know things like nutrition. We need to know which nutrients we need, how much of those nutrients. We need to know which foods contain those nutrients, which is none right now, but which foods might contain those nutrients if we ever get farming practices back on human terms. And do they teach any of that in school? Absolutely none, almost nothing as far as nutrition. They'll teach you to eat your vegetables. That's about it. Well, that's, you know, TV tells you that. So we sit behind that desk for 16,000 hours of our childhood. And what do we learn? How many people have finished school, like technical school or, you know, college or something, and you get out to the job, and the first thing they tell you is forget 99% of what you learned at school. Well, doesn't that tell you you just wasted 99% of your time in school? Right? So why do people not get that? Why do they still ship their children off to market like fattened cattle by sending them to that square cave to learn nothing, to be indoctrinated? And to have their bodies just rot away from sitting so long, you know. How is it we can't get that message across? And now that they've closed the schools, this seems like an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? All of a sudden my child looks healthier. They're learning 10 times more because they're in the world instead of in that square cave.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's, I guess, another opportunity is we can hopefully go out in the world and meet family and friends and, you know, help them better raise their families by realizing that whatever the government does is just contrary to anything good or wholesome.
Yeah, I want to say that whether or not people are homeschooled, which is better, or they do go to, quote, public or private school, the whole idea about school is to not have, like, abnormality, okay? You want to have, like, your base, really, in my opinion, just basic education, you know, to help you survive and learn. And it, for those who want to continue it to a different level, fine. But, you know, this thing about, well, being 6 feet apart, like, there's nothing healthy about it. See, so to me, it's just like, you know. And another thing, yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, I'm not saying they don't learn anything useful at school. Like, to learn life skills and learn how to get by in the world, you can do that in a couple of weeks. I mean, right. You know, a couple of days a month or something. So what are they doing the rest of the time? You know, 16,000 hours. To do what? And all it is teaching you government worship. And teaching you government is God and government is the ultimate power. And corporations are providers.
Yeah, and now it's gotten up to the next level. Like I said, with social distancing, it's got into the mind control level. I mean, not that it wasn't mind control before, but, you know. So, you know, getting to the adult realm of business owners, we can say the same thing. It's almost like, when you talk about an adult, it's a little bit different, but at the same time, you're still training the person to do something not normal, you know. This whole thing is just, I think people have to just say no. I want to give an example of some of the things I go through that I just notice on observation. About a week ago, I went to get takeout, okay, at an Asian place. And not a lot of people at all in this particular time. So I walk in and I order. It was interesting because there was an Asian guy. Now, look, again, okay. not stereotyping people, because there are many Asian people that I see with no masks, so it's not about that. But this guy happened to be an Asian guy wearing a mask, and I was, by the time I ordered, I mean, I wasn't wearing a mask. When I first walked in, because I know how Asians could be just a little bit more compliant, right? So when I first walked in, I see the girl, I wore my mask, but then as soon as I just, right away began talking to her about what I can order, I took it off. She didn't care, okay? And I go, oh, the menu, okay, cool, I'll buy this, whatever. So then I just sit down and wait in a table for my food without my mask, okay? But the Asian guy, he was waiting for his food. Not only was he wearing a mask, he was standing outside of the establishment, okay? Instead of sitting inside, he was standing outside as though what? Like, oh, because I'm trying to stay away from indoors and be outdoors, and yet I'm wearing a mask? And I'm thinking, is it because of me? I don't know that or whatever. I'm thinking, what an idiot. So he gets his food and leaves. Now, there's a woman that comes in, okay? She happens to be white, I'm just saying. She came in without no mask, took her order, and went, paid, and left. So me and her were the only two that, for the most part, weren't wearing a mask. The Asian guy, he was waiting outside for his food. I just thought, this is really stupid. How dumb, okay? But this is what I mean. I notice, you know, some people are like me, where they'll just order, wait, leave with barely wearing a mask, you know? But other people are like masked from in, out, and about, and right, wherever, in their car, whatever. So stupid. I want to mention something in that RD47 said in chat that I did want to mention about Lisa Marie Presley's son, dead at 27. Yes, the Club 27 with, Joan Baez, what's his name? Jim Morrison, I think, Kurt Cobain, all these people that died at 27, and yep, Lisa Marie Presley's son did it 27, blood sacrifice. Yeah. So he joined the club right there. There you go. Bizarre. Another one, too, is that young Hispanic actress. And the one that here in California, too, she was on a boat with her son. And she ended up drowning. They found her body today. Naya, I think her name was. Anyway, guess how old she was? 33. So there's number 33 there. That's kind of involved in some of these things, too. Thomas Jefferson did something very interesting, and he was 33 when he did it. They mentioned it. It's just like, this is so Freemasonry, you know, all this stuff. But, yeah. So bizarre.
Well, one thing I want to mention is, the Masons took 33. They take all these hand gestures and... I would suggest that these are not Masonic numbers. They're not Masonic hand gestures. The Masons just kind of stole them and started using them for their own twisted aims. And I think what they've done is they've taken away some really shamanic symbolism and numbers so that we would, you know, be opposed to them. If we weren't a Mason, in order to be anti-Mason, we have to stay away from those numbers. No, we need to take those numbers back. We need to take those gestures back and, you know, return them to their nature instead of what the Masons...
I agree with you, but I think the interesting thing, though, is it does kind of get people to be more aware of some of these bizarre ritualistic deaths. It does make you more aware of them. You know.
Sometimes it'll also create more fear, and that's what we don't want.
It can. I want to say hi to Steve Zerlith. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, I wanted attention.
All right. Well, you're here, so you got it.
All right. Awesome. No. I figured we hadn't talked in a long time.
Yeah, thank you for joining. It's been a while. I appreciate it. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, so you were kind of doing some de-occulting of the celebrity deaths, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think what you have to do is that you have to turn this into a basically kind of like a murder drama, and you have to, if you want to get somewhere, you have to not tell a lie, but you have to theatrically frame the series of events. Memeing has kind of done that and has made us kind of see the horror show, but also have a funny version of the horror show as our coping mechanism with all of the different things that you think about when you think about the implications that Epstein was murdered, pretended to be a suicide, and the Clintons' interest in doing so, and it has given full credibility in everybody's subconscious.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's meme magic for you. It's why Ghislaine Maxwell. It's
meme magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is why Ghislaine Maxwell is not going to be dead.
Because everyone can say she's gonna die. She's gonna be suiciding.
She's not gonna die. Listen, here's what happened. Here's the important thing to understand about what triggered Jeffrey Epstein's re-arrest. This was done through legal motions filed independent of the Trump administration by Mike Cernovich, of all people, who couldn't see the long game in that respect, and Alan Dershowitz, who is suspected to to be on the list. Okay,
exactly.
So and Dershowitz, what's insane is that he was a big part of the impeachment situation. So I think that Dershowitz is I don't know what Cernovich's deal is. I kind of stopped listening to him after Epstein ended up dead, because I think that he kind of screwed up something in the timeline, is what it is. You move on from it. This is a war. But no, Ghislaine was arrested through federal process, through a replacement temporary acting, in other words, new attorney general for the or district attorney or whatever it is for the Southern District of New York. This is a keystone in our legal warfare. This department right now is free to operate from the men on the ground. Ghislaine Maxwell is one thing. It's everything else that the new attorney, district attorney, has the authority to allow. This is a lot of New York City criminal enterprise. And remember, our friend Sean David Morton, his original fraud conviction was in that district.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's that heavy, and it affects one of our friends.
That's, I didn't know that. I mean, well.
Yeah, yeah. I emailed Sean in prison, and I told him, they got this new district attorney that brought in Ghislaine. I'm assuming she's a patriot. Why don't you get out of there and start to appeal your original conviction? That's what I told Sean. He needs to get his ass straightened out. He needs to get a lawyer. You know, bow the knee and go through the goddamn system. Because, you know, even Trump is having victories through the goddamn system. It's not like Rudy Giuliani and Mike Succulo and all the other attorneys he's working with aren't esquires of something. Okay? So fight the war. Maybe there's a civil war happening amongst the highest authorities of attorneys in the American side of the bar. I don't know, but you know, it has to mean something on the legal side for anything to be possible.
You know, Carrie Cassidy, she put out a I guess it was through LinkedIn. I got the article about how Sean, you know, he's got cancer, he's got tumors, and
yeah, it's awful.
Bad.
He's falling apart. But it's all needless, because he's doing this whole thing about, like, you know, I'm competent enough to do this without, you know, saying I'm incompetent and I need an esquire of the bar.
Oh my God. At this you point, know,
that's the gist of it. He could have been out here. His you know, if he had a lawyer, that lawyer maybe could have done something about, like, I think he said his bail was like $1,000. I think it was like only $1,000 to get him out, to bail him out. Nobody had a.
Well, why is he doing this?
I didn't have a grand.
He's got cancer and tumors. I mean, he could die. What's going? Why is he doing this?
Well, obviously, he's a true believer.
Obviously. I guess he's gonna fight to the death. Okay, well, I don't know what to say. I mean,
Listen. This is his identity. Whether we like it or not, it's an ego death he's refusing to have. Okay, it's like he must spend too much time on that damn mountain, and got a Nirvana complex of some sort.
Oh,
you know,
geez.
Saying this is locked in. I've done everything I'm supposed to do to grow in this department of my identity. Many of us have blocks like that, okay? I wouldn't be in my situation still, right now, if I didn't have my blocks. I'm doing my best to be honest with myself about it until I can find the willpower to fix that problem, okay? And for whatever reason, it's not there. I'm human.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say, me and you know, we know Sean personally, and many people know him personally, okay? So it is rather sad to watch him sitting in jail with tumors and just waiting. I mean, it's
also sad to see him not someone's advice.
Exactly.
Which is an insult to somebody, especially if you know that they're not taking anybody's advice.
It is, you know, he wants to be like, what, a martyr to prove his point? I have to prove my point?
Listen, I mean, like, I'm not afraid of death, and I'm guessing that Sean's not afraid of death.
All right.
So that's a good thing. You mm-hmm. know, I understand that. I think we should all understand that, because there's very few atheists in the Revolution Radio universe. Most of us are New Age Christian or some form of animist pagan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, sure.
Okay. So it just is what it is.
Yeah, you know, I guess we have to accept that this is Sean's choice in a sense, right? So I don't know. I know what you mean. It's like
right. Wow. Exactly. So I don't know, man. Maybe at the end of the day, he just thinks it's a dignified thing to do. I mean, look, I would rather his way win. I would rather the world bend to that will of his. Because me and him, we always agreed on what a sexy little future would look like, where it would be like Star Trek, but with capitalism and freedom. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
As well as the romantic side of like, oh, and you can go, I don't know, this planet, and you know, on this planet you can go play like medieval times. You know, it's okay. Stuff like that. Sean had the ability. Or he has the ability to do Hollywood magic, but they won't let him wield that power. He knows how to put together mm-hmm. a thing like that from his vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke my heart on the level of Sean's naivete on, mm-hmm. as well as the bastards in Hollywood to see them continually dangle the movie deal or the TV show deal for Sands of Time in front of his face, and then to pull it away.
Mm-hmm.
Not mocking him, and then there's all the people in the industry that mock him for that, and mm-hmm. then they all got that sadistic little chuckle. If you come across one of these critics of Sean, they got this sadistic little chuckle. They like to post that one meme of him where it shows his head on like a guy in a jail jumpsuit, like body behind bars, just a cruel little mockery meme that isn't like funny in any way, shape, or form, and it's just like for hate. You know, there's no charm in it. There's no, you know, it's just he gets what he deserves because I believe the system. It's a fucking crock of shit. Excuse my French, but
yeah.
I'm getting sick and tired of Revolution Radio and me having to actually say that every time I drop an F-bomb. It's why I don't call in so much. The world needs to be woke the F up with full profanity. But unfortunately, nobody wants to be allowed to speak profane amongst whoever the big money is. And big money, I'm imploring you to have a chat with the people who run this place and say, please, it's okay to be vulgar. Because I think our voices need to offend somebody a lot more than in the weird esoteric way that nobody understands. Okay, there's my rant.
I mean, you know, I don't think that, I think the way I speak, even though I'm not always dropping expletives, is effective, but that's just my way of speaking. Everyone's different. It's cool. You know, whatever. Nick, what do you think of Sean's David Morton stance on, you know, how he wants to deal with the situation in this manner?
Well, I read some of the transcript from his trial, and I was very discouraged. I mean, I was so enthusiastic as he was about being able to crush them, you know, and I've done it myself where I've used some of these techniques. And, you know, the problem is there are so many pitfalls. It's a very slippery place to be because they know just where to drop, you know, the grease in front of you. So unless you step perfectly every step of the way, they will find a way to trip you up. And so when he was in court saying, oh, you jackbooted thugs, he was clearly not even all that close. However, I do believe the reason they are brutalizing him and torturing him and helping him get worse and worse is because he is kind of dancing around the kryptonite of this evil Superman. And if he does get out, he will, or he has a chance, I don't know. I mean, I thought he had access. He had so much more access. He was rubbing elbows with top celebrities. I was so sure that if, you know, he would either figure them out and crush them, or he'd just, you know, find some resort somewhere in Switzerland where he would be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out neither was the case. Suddenly, it was very discouraging. But I am pretty sure because, you know, in my own situation, I had two federal prosecutors against little old me. Why would they do that? I didn't have a lawyer. I was on my own. And they were so scared of the preliminary paperwork I had put in.
Yeah.
You know, but it was all being forced all at once. And so I, you know, couldn't quite get all my ducks in a row. And so they did find a way to get me. But that's what they did is they had, you know, they were so scared. You know, and by the way, that was the third and fourth federal prosecutors. The first two fled. So, yeah, there is something to this. You just got to learn it properly.
And think about what all this is. This is all instruments of legal warfare that is used against a guy trying to just succeed, like me. Okay? The guy was just trying to succeed. He was just trying to sell a book. He was just trying to sell a TV show. He was just trying to, you know, to make quality, like, intelligent entertainment. You know, it's what he loved. It's you know, he wasn't like a hard labor worker, you know, like he's not like sitting there, you know, like, and that's not laziness. If you knew him, you'd see how hard he worked at just, you know, the game, but the game.
I know. A lot of us saw exactly. I know what you mean. He's very eloquent and passionate when he's up doing his stuff and writing and speaking.
And there's another factor here. Sean wasn't just trying to succeed. One thing I think Sean was actually genuinely trying to do was he was trying to empower others to succeed. And that's where they really were shaking in their boots.
Yes.
They do not want us empowered. They do not want us knowing how to act as men and women instead of citizens. So, yeah, that's why, again, you know, you start tap dancing. That is their golden goose. And if you start empowering people and training them how to stand as men and women, first and foremost, men and women, before American, before lawyer, before whatever, then, you know, they have no power. They lose their golden goose.
Right. And right now it seems like the public display of the inherent corruption and, most importantly, technical loopholes in all of this system, all wrapped around charges of treason and sedition, mind you, because the president has used the word treason and sedition about various people, especially the president of the United States, and big deal, the members of the intelligence community. And the FBI, by the way, is just the intelligence community for domestic. All right. So all of this is coming around. I mean, like, look, at the end of the day, everybody talks about MK Ultra and they always talk about the CIA, where its origins is, other than the CIA ended it. I think that, you know, when they evolved the program and retired it from the CIA, because the CIA was moving on to a new mind control program, they had a developed version that they figured out to work here domestically, and they gave that to the FBI. That's what I think. That's all intuitive. That's not based on any particular research, but I'm just kind of picking up on that. Okay, I don't know the internal guts of this.
I don't. You know that the cancer that he has. I'm just wondering, without the proper care, whatever is going on. I'm just wondering. Do you know anything about the details of his cancer besides just me reading that he had a tumor?
Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I think he said.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? Here, I will, because I only get, like, mass emails from him. He must, he probably has, like, an emailing limit now or something like that.
Oh, wow.
That's my assumption, although he didn't say anything about an emailing limit. I'm just making an assumption. Okay, so his last one. Okay, hold on a minute. Hold on, I got to go to the one before that. Thankfully, I didn't delete that one. All right. So, maybe I did. This might be. It might have been three emails back, and I got rid of it. Yeah, okay, because I no longer have the email. My apologies. I have these two others. In fact, let me read you the last one. It's not very long, and it's actually good information about this. Check this out. This is what he emailed to some people.
All right.
Hey, everybody. So how are you all enjoying jail and the apocalypse out there? Judge James, Judge James Gwynn ruled to release 800 inmates from the Elkton, Indiana FCI due to massive COVID-19 pandemic that is sweeping the prisons. The BOP, instead of letting these people go, went to the SCOTUS, where they upheld the ruling 6-3. But then Sonia, sounds like a Mexican, stepped in and blocked the ruling of the court with a stay, and the BOP got the SCOTUS overturned in the lower court. You must understand that all of these prisons are owned by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. So, you know, now we understand that the prison industrial complex was at stake in 2008. Isn't that interesting? God save the prisons. And they float trillions in bonds against the warehoused commodities known as prisoners. And remember, under the 13th Amendment, you are a slave again. Like a pre-Civil War slave, because of the duly convicted clause. If you're federally convicted, if you are a felon, you are a slave legally. in the old South sense of the word. Anyway, in fact, I track the case numbers in my own case, which are connected to QSIP numbers. They create as bonds. They file in each case. I discovered that my bonds were lodged in Fidelity Mutual Ottawa. It says Ottawa. It might be Ottawa. Boston and Philadelphia.
Okay.
One in Canada is being managed by the prosecutor Valerie Makewitz's sister-in-law, and they are both worth $450 million, collecting interest for 3 years. Meanwhile, my cancer is getting worse. Okay, he speaks about it down here. Spreading across my jaw into my throat, where I'm having trouble eating, breathing, and talking. They won't treat me, and they can't ship me anywhere to be treated. Mm-hmm. So no people care at all. 60 men shies. Okay, shies, shave, and shower. Live and eat in a lockdown, low-ceiling dorm, 3 feet away from each other, 24/7. It is horrible. However, my motion for release should be ruled on soon, and I will get out to get treatment. Keep me in your prayers. Love you, Sean Morton.
Wow. Yeah. Well, when he writes, man, he really puts his mind to it, you know, even though he's in a predicament.
Well, you know, you in many cases often can still have your mind in prison, it seems. You know, I've had a lesser feeling of that, but you can't say that Sean doesn't still have his mind.
Yeah, he's kind of a tough guy in his own right, you know.
Right.
Right.
I guess he supposes there's no point in sacrificing my personality to this situation, right?
Yeah. Which, yeah, I just think, I don't know, with his next move just seems to be like, it's almost like, who's going to back it? It's just almost like he's just saying this thing and then nothing really physical can happen, or I'm just guessing, you know?
Mm.
Right? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, Steve, did you hear my show earlier about these lockdowns and how I feel like this is humanity's last call for turning things around, because they're going to throw lockdowns, you know, not just in America or the U.S., but globally, and really keep pushing it until the fall and the winter and try to make all kinds of excuses to get compliance out of people. I mean, this is really a turning point this year for the whole world. I mean, I don't know. What are your notions on any of that?
Oh, man. You know, I only really have a strong sense of how this lockdown is affecting people in the English-speaking world.
Okay. So
America, Australia, Canada, the United Kingdom, and an English-speaking Europe. And so I don't know what it means for the whole world. I'm not exactly sure what people's attitudes are in Europe about whether they quite believed it or not, or, you know, are they looking at America and what America is saying and asking themselves, do we believe what's going on over there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of interesting, and it depends on how much the people are getting each other's information that way, because it's very fascinating when you start comparing notes with other countries, and it's part of the reason why they've worked so hard to make this globalism thing work, because, you know, just by the mere fact that we all like want to be interconnected, we want to be able to talk to each other, right? You know, I can talk to anybody in the world, and I don't need to have some sort of communications passport. Everything is handled on the national level.
Okay, national. All right.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, you know, There's not a lot we can do, except I always tell people just stand strong in your conviction. I think energetically, you know, as individuals in the scheme of all this, it's like we do impact our environment energetically by, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Right. You know, I make them make me put the mask on. That's my thing.
Exactly. It's
like I don't wear the mask until somebody gets in my way, and then I put the mask on.
Right. Good for you.
I want to see their convictions. Just like, do you actually care? Right. And then, of course, there's places where the corporation has hired somebody to care. Right. And that's another unfortunate. Right. I've worn the mask very, very, very little, including only one time with a rideshare customer. An older gentleman asked me to put it on. However, we talked about COVID the whole way, and he was listening. He was actually very engaged and asking me questions. Mm-hmm. I was giving him all the data points I've figured out on my own about how they're lying about the statistics, how viruses actually work, et cetera, et cetera. I was able to cram a decent amount of information in the short trip.
Okay.
You know? And so and he was in a, I don't like using the word believing, because I'm assuming that he agreed that I was correct. Because it made sense to him, right? Not so much belief, but it made sense to him,
mm-hmm.
which was really good. You know, like I could tell he wasn't just like saying like, oh, wow. Yeah, I'll keep that in mind. You know, like it's not one of those things where you're pretending that you understood any of it. Right.
Yeah.
He understood. He understood. And also happened to say that I may be correct. So that's good. He probably checked that out. And the more I can help people realize that a giant fraud has been perpetuated on them by some people in official science.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean,
I hate that we had to go through it. But right now, the news is saying that the White House has turned on Fauci. And I think that's including Fox News. And of course, Fox News is been increasingly suspicious of him, that's their narrative. So at least that was the narrative and not something that would have gone in a direction I disagreed with. We just have to continue to take responsibility to tweak that as it goes, you know, to handle the fringes so we don't get the loopholes. We have to exploit all of it to oversimplify it and to make it make sense in a way that it serves us. And that it's as damn close to financially neutral as possible, while still effective. Okay, and that's if we're going to be having a system of hierarchy for society at all.
Yeah, good point. Those are excellent points.
Right.
We have a few minutes more. Nick, do you have anything to comment about what Steve said or anything on your mind?
I sort of did. I kind of lost it, though. I think it, as far as... I'm sorry. I couldn't hang on to I wanted to make some kind of comment about how this whole coronavirus thing has really, changed people in their belief system that, it seems like they're trying to take away any idea that our bodies can defend themselves. Instead, we have to take all these measures. It's pretty amazing to me how many people kind of go along with this social distancing thing, that we should stay apart. And no matter what we do, no matter how many measures they implement, it still spreads. So clearly, it's going to spread. regardless of, we can lock ourselves down, we can isolate ourselves,
it's still
going to spread. So what are we gaining, you know, with all of these so-called measures?
We also had to keep this going to get that data, because we needed to be able to composite over a series of weeks test results to know that we have that many people with it and are completely asymptomatic.
Well, but the thing is, you know, those of us in the know kind of watch the old fashioned SARS, the swine flu, the bird flu, and, you know, the behavior of the government and the media during those, events. And, you know, what they were saying was, oh, we have a bunch of people sick with the swine flu in Mexico. They're on a plane. They're all on planes traveling throughout the world. So, we're doing everything we can to spread it. And so get ready. And so clearly, I mean, what they're doing now is everything they can to spread it and then blame us because we didn't comply enough. We got to comply more. We got to have more regulations, more lockdowns, more of everything because we just didn't comply with it. So it'll spread again, and then they'll need more. Like, yeah, it's medical martial law.
And the
number of people just going along is staggering. It's, again, you know, a reason why, right. You know, you just have to be okay. Just, you know, we're going to be okay. We're going to live. We're safe. We've arrived at where we need to be. Mm-hmm. And so just let the world spin into the sewers. I guess it insists on going there.
That's kind of what I'm gathering by some of the videos I've been watching about this sort of a movement kind of where we're just going to just live and be out of Babylon, as they say. Right?
Be outside of that.
Yeah, it's the issue that they have, I think voting is perfectly fine, but the problem is that the religion of politics, the faith in the vote, creates certain problems, because a lot of these people, they'll go and they'll at the end of the day, they'll pull a lever and say, I want the guy that said masks or the guy who said no masks. So we might be dealing with that binary choice as an issue in November, right? And Trump is seemingly fighting for the no mask argument because Fox News is fighting for the your right to choose if you wear a mask or not argument. Sure. It's bad enough that this is a culture.
Right. There's music. But hey, I appreciate Nick. And Steve, Derelip, come back on again, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been great. This is Maureen Helpin, Welder at Heart, Roundtable Show. See you guys next week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.